Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. For a number of years, the idea of wandering the country, well, the continent really, because I'd like somewhere warm in the winter, has really appealed to me. A camperized van would be my home, and I'd go wherever I darn well pleased. But I'll be honest, the idea of being a solo woman on the road has been a bit intimidating. In this episode, Janelle Jones tells us about her RV club specifically for solo travelers. It sounds the perfect solution for a hesitant solo like me. Listen now and then check the show notes for info on a webinar Janelle is hosting on April 13th, coming up soon, to explain more and answer your questions. Ever since I sold my last house, I've contemplated where in the world I might like to visit. I'd stay for a while and then move on to the next place. Of course, I'd be back in my hometown regularly because I can't be without the grands for too long. As they all reach school age, though, it is easier to be away. Now, we did have that pesky little interruption in our life called COVID, which not only put plans on the back burner, but it also sort of made it easy to get lazy. And for many of us, our lives and commitments changed. I'll admit, for me, the commitments became a bit of an excuse. My dog was getting too old to leave in a kennel for an extended period. I have elderly clients with dementia. They wouldn't adapt easily to a new companion. But my dog has passed. I still love those clients, but at this rate, they may outlive me, which leaves only one hesitation keeping me from skipping town. I'd be a solo traveler. Now, if you're a regular listener, you'll remember that I've had solo travelers on the show. Kathleen started her solo adventure with El Camino de Santiago at age 70. Gila camperized a Mazda CX-5 and traveled North America. She was so hooked and grew so much within herself that she returned home, camperized a minivan, and now considers this her way of life. My guest today is a veteran of solo RV travel. She helps fellow travelers navigate the challenges and amplify the joys of this unique lifestyle. Her mission is to empower others to explore the open road with confidence, companionship, and a sense of purpose. Companionship. It's a common thread with every traveler I've chatted with, and I'm excited to learn more. Janelle Jones, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast.
Agnes, thank you so much for having me. I have looked forward to this, and that was a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Well, it's almost perfect too. I mean, our listeners can't see you, but I can see that you are in your RV, and I will
Yeah,
classify
where
that to
else?
say it
Yeah,
looks
where
really
else would I
nice.
be? Yeah, of course, I'm at my house. Yes,
There
of
you
course I
go.
am.
Okay, a few stats. You've logged 36,000 miles in 2 years. You've visited 41 of 62 national parks. That's pretty impressive. How did you ever get started?
Well, and first of all, I'm now at 41,000 miles, and I can add 42 of the parks. I just knocked one off last week. So yeah, I love those stats. That sounds good even to me, and I've been to all of them, and I love hearing that. I got started, I'd have to say as a kid, I really did. My family was poor, and we moved a lot. I mean, I went to 12 schools, 12 grades. So I was used to, didn't like it then, but I was used to moving. And so when I like bought my first one or two houses and I sat there for 5 years, I was like, good Lord, this is terrible. So anyway, it's kind of really started from back then. And I've always moved a lot. And then when I retired, I traveled like everybody does. I hit Europe and traveled. And I mean, I did for 6 months. I took 20 grand. Two suitcases, one for hot cold clothes, one for cold clothes, and lived literally out of the airport for 6 months. And as my 20 grand drizzle went away very quickly,
Drained out the bottom, yeah.
drained, that's what I was looking for, drained quickly, I realized that I loved the travel, but I missed my stuff. I missed my bed. I was sick of schlepping all that stuff with those suitcases. So slowly that idea of why don't I get an RV and so I can do this wanderlust? I figured I'd do it a year or two. I could do this travel, but still have my house with me and kind of get this out of my system. Well, here we are 5 straight years later, and I'm still at it. And not any time. I have no plan to stop yet.
Okay. Now, have you always been a confident solo traveler, or have you just realized that you may be solo en route, but there are lots of places to connect with other solos?
I have traveled solo several times in my life. And I went to Mexico. I lived in Texas, so everybody goes to Mexico from here. And so I went there, but I wouldn't say that I wasn't confident. I just knew, well, I can get to the airport, I can get in a cab, but I wouldn't say that I really embraced it. I just went because no one else is going and I'm going. So, but now I can honestly say I'm a very confident solo traveler. I enjoy the solo part of it. I do like connecting, but I am okay and embrace the solo part of it.
Right. So, any anxieties when you're alone, like on the road?
No, not at all. Do you have anxiety at your house? No, not at all. What, honestly, Agnes, this is a mental game. This is like a lot of things. All right. So remember when we first started driving, we were all nervous to drive. It became an acquired skill. That's exactly what it was, just an acquired skill. The same with actually driving an RV. What's hard about driving an RV and not having a permanent address is the mental part of it. What if this happens? What if I get a flat? What if, there's a hard tornado? What if a moose won't move out of the way? Which every bit of that's happened to me. And n nothing happens. I have the mentality, as long as I don't die or someone else, you know what? It's going to be a funny story one day. Maybe not today, but it'll be a funny story. So I just preach this so much to everybody who wants to start this life. Get your head right, and then everything else just falls into place.
Okay. I guess just one more question about, your comfort level. Is there a difference in that psychological comfort with the size of the vehicle? Like you're living in a house as opposed to a little garden shed sort of thing.
I mean, there's Class Bs, which are like vans you see on the road all the time. And then my RV is 36 feet. And then I have a car behind it. So I'm like 60 feet going down the road. 60 feet, a hot mess, I call it. But it's really not, Agnes. Once you learn to drive, I mean, I had some learning curves when I started driving this. I ran over a few curbs and whatever, took out a sign or two that was low to the ground I didn't see. But no, the mental part, the part that I had trouble with, and I think people have trouble with, is the what if, being scared, parking by themselves. What happens if I have a breakdown? Who's going to help me? And that's the part that you have to develop that skill and come to terms with that. And that doesn't matter if you're car camping, because if you have a flat tire in a car, when you have a flat tire in an RV, they're basically the same. Can you fix a flat tire? I can't, but I know who to call. So it's the same to me, it's the same type of mentality once you get that skill and once you make that mental adjustment.
Yeah, I guess I was sort of thinking along the lines of when you go to bed at night, you've pulled your curtains and you're in a large house, as opposed to Gila, who probably had something to cover the windows up with, but sleeping in a tiny car. And, I guess it just seemed so much more vulnerable. A quick story about me is when I was very young, I moved across Canada in my car. And I remember sitting like just, I wasn't camperized, obviously, I was just moving from A to B, but the car was packed. So I would get into my sleeping bag in the driver's seat, recline back, but I had a toe in each corner of my sleeping bag. So if I had to move suddenly or get going or something, if I panicked in the night, then I had my clutch foot and my brake foot, my gas foot, like all that stuff was ready to go. But I mean, I'm just now telling you about my own paranoia, so that's okay.
Very common, Agnes. That's very common because it you sitting in your house, it sounds very strange to you to go out and park in a field, which is where I am right now, in a field. It sounds very strange to you to go park in a field. And I submit to you that I have a beautiful view that's costing me $10 a night, and I feel very safe in this field. Now, I'm not 100 miles from civilization. I've never gone off and drove in Utah, drove into the mountains 20 miles and camped with no one around for I've never done that. And I just don't think I would, just being a girl, and if bad guys were, I don't know. I just don't, Like most women, I don't put myself in a situation I can't easily see my way getting out of, or at least knowing someone else is there. So same thing applies for this. And Gila, your car camper friend, I guarantee you she would be able to tell me all kind of tips and tricks on how to feel safe and how to feel comfortable, because that was her home for a while. And so I'm sure that she made it comfortable so she could sleep good, get around, do what she had to do. And she would tell me little tricks and tips I don't know.
Well, I think, and we're not going to get into Gayla's story, but like the story that we will get into with you is the fact that you find those communities. And so there's, you can find those places where other like-minded people are. So,
Yes. One thing that I learned that I did not know, there is a whole subculture of RVers. I am by far not at all an oddity here. Not a bit. When I first got, I have an RV club, which we'll talk about later. But when I first joined this RV club, I rolled in all full of myself in this big RV, and I've been all over Paris and Europe, and I've traveled the United States. I learned quickly to be quiet because there were 70, 74-year-old woman that's pulling RVs that are way bigger than mine and have been to every state 5 times, driven through Canada twice, been all the way down to Baja, across Canada, up to Alaska twice. I mean, so I very quickly realized I by no means the most experienced one at all.
right. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how somebody can sort of make you a little bit more humble.
I was definitely humbled, absolutely.
Okay, now I'm looking at the RV behind you or around you. What would you say are the most important items in that RV and why?
I would say the most important, there's 100 different subcategories we could do, but off the top of my head, I would say the most important thing is I feel safe and I feel comfortable. I feel very cozy in here. I feel protected. I feel settled. All the things that makes me have a good life, and I have a very good life. And then I also feel safe in this RV. I'm up a little bit. My windows, you'd have to be tall to even look in my windows. You'd have to take a crowbar to my front door, which you could, but I mean, I'm sure I'd hear it. But, so I feel very safe in here, very sheltered. I have my things in here that I love. I pared down dramatically, but everything in this RV, I'm looking around now at stuff that to see. Is things that I found. I have a tray behind me that I got in Italy in a secondhand store. So I don't just have a bunch of trays. No, I have one tray and it came from Italy in a secondhand store. So I try to curate very carefully what's in this so that I look around, I see things that I love.
As you're explaining that, I'm thinking you would definitely have to be the type of person that if you want to buy something, you have to figure out what's going to go before it comes in.
I try to do a one in, one out. I don't do it every time, but especially with clothes, absolutely. A shirt comes in, a shirt goes out. Because I have a good sized closet, but it is only so much, and it's nowhere near like a house closet. And I don't need that much. I don't need evening clothes anymore. I don't need high heels. I don't need coats, and because I don't do hot or cold anymore, so I don't have any coats. I have one jacket. I don't have business clothes. I've got the one black dress in case I have a funeral. I don't, but no, I'm heavy on the shorts and casual t-shirts and light dresses.
Okay, so you're out in the middle of a field right at this moment. You and I are talking on Zoom. Now I know exactly where my internet comes from. How do you connect with on the internet?
I have Starlink sitting right outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is completely normal house living. People always want to know how do I get my mail? How do I get my prescriptions? That's nothing. Mail, who really gets mail anymore? Really? I have a service in North Dakota. All my mail goes there. That's my technical address. All my mail goes there. They'll open it if I want, scan it, or just send it to me the next time I'm at an address. Prescriptions, they're at Walmart. Their Walmarts are everywhere. They can look you up. You know what the hard part is? Getting my hair done. That's the part nobody asks you about. Getting my hair done. My hair, you can see, is blonde, and blonde means different things to different people in parts of the country. That's where I struggle the most, is getting my hair done.
Explain that. It means different things to different people.
Well, to me, when I say I'd like you to color my hair a golden blonde, Well, golden,
Okay.
is interpretation. That's what I mean.
Oh,
That's what I mean. Yeah. I
okay.
mean, that's the hardest challenge I have, knock on wood.
I guess I was instantly thinking of one of my nieces many years ago. She is blonde as blonde can be, and had gone to an Asian country, of course, where blonde was very unique. So I was thinking along those lines, but
No, nothing near that exotic.
okay, let's cut to the chase. Now, did you create this RV club, or was it there when you?
Yes, thank you, Agnes. I appreciate you letting me talk about that because I think it's an important service, if you will. It's an important component to this lifestyle. The Wandering Individuals Network, or WINS for short, Wandering Individual Network, was started 36 years ago by four women, three men, I believe, sitting around a campfire wanting to travel together. Now, you think back 36 years ago, people didn't live and travel full time in RVs. They may lived in RVs, but we travel a lot, like 9 months out of the year, state to state to state on itineraries that are put together. And they wanted a club for them so that they didn't stick out because, you go and you're the single one. We've all been at the wedding with the table of eight and the one chair next to them that's open. They wanted to have their own club where they felt included in, part of the crew. And so it started very, very simply. And 36 years later, I'm the fourth owner of it now. I've had it about a year. And I've belonged to it for about 5 years now. And it changed completely how I RV because when you're with like-minded people who, as I mentioned earlier, are a lot more experienced, it went from me existing in the RV and kind of enjoying when I get somewhere to thriving, having a really thriving, fulfilling life. And that I don't use those words lightly. I have a thriving, fulfilling life.
I think I appreciated when I was doing a little bit of research about you, the fact that anything from the car camper to a large Class A like yours, everybody's welcome as long as they're RVing.
Yeah, I'm looking at a van right here. I bet that isn't even a I bet that isn't 20 feet van. And then over there is a Class C that's probably 25 feet. So yeah, I mean it's everything. We don't care. We're way more interested in can you cook for 20 people? Do you have like a funny jokes that you tell? Do you know about a hike that we can take? Do you like to ride bikes? We're way more interested in that. Half the people in the club, I don't even know what they did in their former life because nobody cares. We want to know if you can hike or can you do you want to ride bikes today? That's what we want to know. That means something to us.
Okay, so in terms of the club, do you plan, for example, a route in it or a destination in a route, or is it a little bit more haphazard? Like, will a group of, I don't know, I'm just talking through my hat here, 10 people decide, okay, we want to go to this place, this park, and this is the route we want to take, or is there just several destinations that people will agree to meet at?
Yes and no. How's that for clarity? So I own the club. I make up trips. I exclusive itineraries. It's a membership based. It's $120 a year, which is $10 a month. And that just basically helps pay for the website and all that. But part of what I do is I create trips. Like right now, we're on one called Waltz Across Texas. We started in Big Bend National Park in far west Texas. We're going to come east through Texas. Take a left in, we're in Fredericksburg right now, which is the middle of the state. We're going to start heading north. We're going to go up to Pella, Iowa for a tulip festival. And then we're going to hang a left and go west across the Badlands and see all that. And then we're going to spend Washington and Oregon. We're going to spend the summer there. And then we're going to drive down the California coast, come to Arizona, and we're going to go to Mexico for a month. So that trip is put together and I put all the stops on there, how long we're going to stay at each stop. Here's the address. If you need reservations, the phone number's there. I've already called and talked to them. And then you come and go as you choose. Not everybody wants to travel for the next straight 6 months. I'm going to, but not everybody wants to. And so you can come in and out. Let's say you've been to Washington a bunch of times. So maybe you travel with us all the way till we get to Washington, then you break off and go see your cousin and high school best friend that's up there. So that's one of the great things is it is structured if you want it to be, but you come in and out as you please. No one asks where you're at, or I mean, we get to know each other, know where you are, but you're free to come and go as you please.
Now, somewhere along the way, I did see something about RV maintenance. Are there spots along the way that you've already sussed out so that if somebody should have an issue, or are there just typical things that an RVer would be doing or call people they would be calling?
No, if your RV needs issue, like we've got one lady here now that she saw a water leak under her sink. No, she's calling and doing with that on her own. You know, we are not out in the wilderness. I mean, we are around RV places. And unless you're brand new to an RV, an RV is, I've heard it called a rolling tornado going down the road. Everything jiggles and shakes and moves around. So there's always a little something here and there. You know, you look down and there's a screw on the floor. You're like, okay, wonder where that came from. But you learn, and part of that mental thing that I keep going back to is you learn that with an RV, it's not if something breaks, it when something breaks. Now, I have a pretty, a pretty good RV. It's newer. And so I don't have a lot. I mean, I've had a few things, but I've tried to teach myself some things. I can change my own oil now. I can change my generator oil because I realized how easy it was. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna look on YouTube and I'm gonna save myself $199 and do it myself. And then I went and taught a few other women how to do it now. It's so easy. So you learn a few things like that, and you have the bandwidth to concentrate and learn something because you're not doing 100 other things. Like when we're working and raising children and whatever. For me, at least, I had the bandwidth and the concentration to be able to go out there and figure out how to do that. And now it's so nothing. And I want, as a woman owner of this club, it was founded by a woman and then had a succession of men owners. I wanted to really strongly try to empower women and lead by example, being the head of the club and reach out to other women. I'm going to have a webinar on April 13th that I was going to ask you to mention. It's a free webinar on April 13th. If you are thinking about this life or dipping your toe in it, come to that webinar and I'm just going to tell you about some things I know and sit and talk and chat and see if this is a viable option for you, especially as you get older. How long do you want to sit in your house and watch TV and garden and sew and cook? I mean, how long do you want to do that? I did it for a year. I was young. I was 54 when I retired. And I did it for a year and I was like, no, this is not for me. I need more than this.
Okay, that was going to be one of my next questions is sort of what is there an average age of, say, the people in your group?
I would say, if I had to just off the top of my head, I would say from about 60 to 75, give or take. We've got some outliers. We've got like these, I call them forest rangers. I don't know what they are. They're like 27, 28. And when we're up in the Northwest, they work like for a month in the forest doing something, and then they're off a month. And so when they're off, they come and travel with us. And the first time I saw them, I was like, "Why are y'all? Are you here with your grandparents? What are y'all doing here?" But they like hanging out with us. They know that we're doing stuff. Now we go on a 3 mile hike. They go on a 20 mile hike. But they eat with us. We feed them. So we've got an outlier like that. We've got a couple. Forrest, he I think Forrest 81. I mean, we've got some older ones, but I'll tell you what, that 81-year-old was kayaking just a week or two ago, and he rides his bike right with us. Now, you show me another 81-year-old that's sitting at his house, just sitting there watching TV, waiting for a son to come by once a week, and is he kayaking and hiking? This life to me is such a great option as you get older, as long as you can physically do it. And there's not that much physical to it, but as long as you can physically do it, it's a wonderful option.
And it's interesting too how, you talk about the 81-year-old sitting in their house waiting for the kid to drop by. You're also setting an example for that kid. So I'd much rather set the example of your 81-year-old than the person just sitting by the window waiting for the car to pull in.
Exactly. Because now, and I don't know, I'm just saying that, but I would think that our guy would have to say, "No, son, you can't come by. I'm kayaking in Canada this week." I know my child does. My child would be like, "Mom, where are you now? When are you coming back this way?"
Yeah, no, for sure. That's great. Yeah, it's great to be that bigger, well, bigger than the norm. And because I think the norm still is, you retire, there's lots of people who are traveling and doing really exciting things, but I think the norm is still that,
It is.
like
It is.
volunteer and join a few clubs and stuff like that, but you don't really get out there and live, capital L, capital I, capital V, capital E. Yeah, it's
It's
great.
true.
Yeah.
It's true, Agnes. And I hear so many people that after they've been with us, like 1 or 2 days or 1 or 2 weeks at the most, are like, I wish I'd have done this 5 years ago. I sat at my house for 5 years, or I've been watching my grandkids for 3 years and we love them and whatever. But it's like, I wish that I knew that you could ride a bike 13 miles through the Grand Canyon. I never knew this. Or kayak in the Bay of Fundy. I mean, there's so much out there that even being older, okay, I can't hike 20 miles anymore. But you know what? I hiked 3 miles down in the Grand Canyon, hiked 3 miles back up. It about killed me. But I got a great, wonderful memory now, as opposed to I went to a garden club on Tuesday. I did a hike in the Grand Canyon on Tuesday.
Yeah. Just getting back to the younger people. Oh, actually, no, it's not even younger people. I'm going to correct myself right there because I'm stereotyping. Are there any digital nomads that do this sort of full time? So they because you're on the internet here, maybe they stop and instead of going for that hike, they just catch up on their business and
We
then.
do. We do have several. We have more like an accountant, a CPA that still does some books. We've got a couple therapists that still do some online calls with longtime clients. Uber drivers. We got several Uber drivers that just plug in when they want. If they don't want to go on today's activities, well, they'll Uber all day or do Lyft all day. So we've got a few of those. We've got a notary. We've got some dog walkers, dog sitters. So, we do. And then I have a part-time job. It's my business here. So I started this, and I love this. This was the last little component that I was missing because this keeps my brain engaged and marketing, and I get to go on great podcasts. I love podcasts anyway. So to get to be on them, it was just thrilling to me.
So when are you going to start your own?
Oh, everybody asks me that. I am not. I'm retired. I don't want to work that hard. I have to put
So
together
am
trips. Well, I have to put together trips for people. I'm doing one now for Canada. Well, I just finished one a couple months ago for Alaska. 16 of them are going up through Canada and all through Alaska. So, and that's a lot of work. That's, it's a lot to do.
So 16 of them, does that mean you're not going?
No, I'm not going to go. I've already been. I'm not going to go. I'm going to be leading the group through the Badlands of Washington and Oregon and going down to Mexico and Baja. We're going to Baja too. So I'm going to be doing that.
Okay, so you're all RVers, which means you're on the road. So you stay within the US, Canada, and Mexico then, is that correct?
Yes, we've done East Canada, West Canada, and we have a place that we go to in Mexico every year. And then in February 3rd of next year, we're going to go down the Baja down to Cabo and stay there like a month or so. That'll be our first time as a group to go there. So, and our group doesn't all go to the same places. You can see online what different trips we have, and you come and go as you please. We have 300 members that are not on this Texas trip. Well, thank goodness, because if 300 people showed up here, I don't know what I would do with all of them. So, some people travel more than others. We have several people that they come for their 1 or 2 week vacation a year, and we never see
Okay.
them again. They
Oh,
just, it's cheaper and easier. Pay $120, and I can show you a bunch of vacation places, and you can come with us or not. It's a great bargain. It's a great deal.
yeah. And I guess the advantage for those people who are taking that finite amount of time each year, just their vacation, annual vacation, is they know what to expect on that vacation as opposed to saying, oh, gee, I've heard great things about this place. Maybe we could give it a try. Well, you've been there and you've been on the route, et cetera. Yeah.
We have little notes in it too. Hey, great barbecue place, or the gas station on the corner of so and so, is good for pull-in RVs. So
Okay.
because we've been, some of these members can tell you that the gas station at Main and Fifth in Boise, Idaho, has great gas stations for big RVs. I mean, these people have traveled; they know the country. I love that though. I love it. Like they were just talking a while ago. Two of them, the best barbecue place here in Fredericksburg. They got an argument, but they both knew, thought they had what, knew which was the best barbecue. So that means that we don't have to go pick another one. We can pick one of these two or both because they've been and they know and, they lend credence to it.
Yeah. Okay, you've been good about telling us about a few people. Any big stories that come to mind about Your people or
Well,
your travels?
yes, this is why I think I have credibility. I've had so many things happen to me in this RV. Well, because of me, no one did anything else to me. I was driving in Canada and I came up to a moose in the road. No one else is around me and this moose, and the moose wouldn't move. I sat there for a while just looking at it, you know. But then after a while, it's like, okay, moose, I gotta go, you know. So he came around the side, looked me in the eye in my big RV. I mean, he was able to look me in the eye. It was rather scary. I've been in a hurricane or tornado and recently an earthquake. I was in a little mini flood. It came up to the edge of the RV. I'm like, ooh, I'm scared. I've hit a building. I've knocked a tree limb, knocked everything off the top of here. I went on a dirt road one time for 8 miles where I couldn't turn around. I thought I was just going to drive off in the sunset, literally, because I'm so big, I can't back up and do a 3-point turn. So I just kept going. I've gone on a wooden bridge before that I had about 2 inches clearance on each side of my RV. I thought for sure it was going to take my mirrors off, but I didn't have a choice. I thought, well, we're going to tear the mirrors off. And it was a wooden bridge with wooden slacks. What do you call wooden
Yeah, no.
slats on the bottom? Yeah. And I weigh about 36,000 pounds. So, you know, I was like, well, I'm not sure how this is going to be. I put my purse on me, opened my driver's side window, and thought, if I fall, you know, and it was deep and there was water, at least I'll have my purse and hopefully I can swim out. And then on the other hand, I've had all those things happen. I've also hiked the Wave. The Wave is in Nevada, I believe, or Utah, or Arizona, and 200,000 tries a year to try to hike that. And I won one, or one of our friends won one. And so I got to hike the Wave. I've been to the Canadian Maritimes and Prince Edward Island. I've kayaked the Bay of Fundy. I've hiked Grand Canyon. I rode a bicycle 13 miles through the Grand Canyon. I mean, there's so many things. I can't even remember all of them. I have to remember to take pictures. And you know how on your Facebook it pops up a year ago? I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. I forgot I was there. I keep saying this. It's a wonderful, fulfilling life that I have. It is a wonderful life.
If you ever decide to do commercials, all you have to do is tell some of these stories. But I want your backdrop to be just a bunch of carrots hanging off a stick. It's like, here's the carrot.
I never
Fall.
thought of that. I should do that, like have it hanging right
Yeah,
here.
right.
That is a great idea. But you know what is, Agnes? You know, to be a good salesperson, as we all know, you had to believe in it. I believe in this. I know what it did for me. I see what it does for other people. The cost of this club is nothing compared to what you get. We know so many tricks on tips on how to camp. We rarely go to a campground. Because who wants to be stacked up next to each other and pay $60 a night? We know a place like, for instance, the Grand Canyon. I keep coming back to that. I love it there. We know a place that is 9 miles outside of the Grand Canyon. You can park for free. It's closer, except for the campground in the Grand Canyon, which you can't get in, but it's closer than every other campground there is. And it's free. And we know to go
Wow.
there. Oh, yeah. We know all kind of things like that. So, like I say, I've never in the year that I've never had anybody say, I want my money back. I don't like this. This isn't good. You didn't do what you promised me. Not at all. They renew, and renew.
Yeah, 120 bucks a year. Holy crikey. That's a tank of
It's
gas.
nothing. Yeah, it's nothing.
In my
I mean,
car.
you say 120, and whose life is that?
No, so that's why I had to clarify in my car.
Yeah. If gas is about $3 ish. I get gas when I'm at a half a tank and I spend about $150. And so when I'm driving, I drive about a half a tank a day, which is $150 a day. So if I drive 5 days, it stacks up fast.
I bet it does.
However, being in the club, we don't do that. Like we got here today and we drove, I think it was 54 miles. Our next stop is 23 miles. And so none of us want to spend money on gas either, but they knew all these places to go. And so we can do that and live. I wouldn't say we live frugally, but we choose to spend our money on going and seeing things and you know, paying admission to a museum or an exhibit or the Andy Warhol Museum or Andy Warhol exhibit is in Alpine, Texas, little Alpine, Texas. So we choose to spend our money on things like that instead of like at a campground where we see, you know, packed up tight and our view is the back of an RV. as opposed to I was just at Apache Junction, Arizona, and my view was the Chocolate Mountains. Beautiful $1 million view, and I was paying, I think, $10 a night.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You brought to mind a question, and what was it? I get so into your stories that oh, I know earlier on you mentioned something about like was somebody cooking for 20 people? Like, do you do that sort of thing, like in the evening y'all get together and create a meal together?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes,
Crack open
sometimes,
a case of wine.
yeah, we go back to our own rigs. A lot of times we go back, get our plate of food, and come out and eat together. Not everybody does. Sometimes we have what's called burn your own. We set up a couple grills, bring some baked potatoes and stuff to share, and everybody brings their steak or tofu or all the diet stuff nowadays. And you can grill it and we all eat together. So it just kind of depends. We all, about six of us went to lunch today. It's just you have friends, you have people to go with and do things with. That's what I like. But if you want, you can go back to your house and be completely on your own. There's like rules. If your front door is shut, people know not to knock. If your door's open, people know that you bang yell at you and come in or, stick their head in. So that's one of the like kind of unwritten rules that we have. And there are several to make group travel friendly and safe and accommodating for as many people as possible.
Right. Just remembering what Gila said about some of the groups that she's joined is because, like, yeah, I'm thinking about those people who sort of just meet up with you occasionally throughout the year. So they're not like real full-time travelers, but right away that it's a group of people who are doing the same things and sharing the same experiences that you want to do and share. So
Right.
the a comfort level right from the beginning. So there'd be no qualms at all about saying, oh, everybody's meeting down in the circle tonight. I'll just take my dinner down because there's going to be somebody to talk to about something that we have in common.
Absolutely. You're not the oddity here at all. You, Agnes, living in your house, you'd be the oddity. We'd be like, you live in a house? Why? No, I always ask everyone, and this was told to me too. Whenever we have a meeting every single day at 4 or 5, just to talk about what we're going to do tomorrow and all, some adult beverage or whatever. And all I ask, like I said, it was asked of me, is if you see somebody walking up that you don't recognize, greet them, so that you only got to do it once, because then once you walked up one time and people greeted you, now you greet someone else. And so if we see somebody walking towards the meeting, they're brand new or they're coming just for their 1 week vacation, they're immediately welcomed in. We're glad to have you, more to the mix. You're at home here with us. We're all the same here.
Yeah, and I guess that's the nice thing about to the variety of RVs is you can have that multimillionaire in the little tiny van, or you can have someone who's just sunk their entire life savings into the big RV like you have. So it's a real equalizer. You're out there, you're in nature, you're traveling. Yeah, so it's
It's and that's true. I don't know who's nobody cares. I don't know
yeah,
who's got
for
money
sure.
here and who doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not like that. Every once in a while, nobody's hiding what they did for a living. It's not, we don't sit there. That's not the first thing we say. It's, hey, so what do you do? Our first thing is, hey, tell us your best place you've been. What's your most fabulous place? And then we see if we can top it or if we've been there too. That's our life. That is our life. And then, we get a chef in. It's like, yes, because a chef loves to try to cook for 20 people on a 12 by 12 flat top grill. Love that. It's a welcoming way of life. I'm not saying that we all love each other. I don't care. It's a small community, and you're not gonna like everybody. But I'll tell you what, 99% of us love this life, want this life. We're here because we want to be, not because we've been made to do this life, which I think sometimes you have the house, you can't afford to leave it, you can't afford to do anything else. There's some of those issues, factors involved. Here, we want to be here. We want to travel across the state of Texas all the way up to see a tulip festival in Iowa. And we look forward to that. It's something to move towards, as opposed to dreading another day.
You've got something called National RV Women's Day.
Yes, that is an initiative I started. It was National RV Day, June something last year. And so it got me thinking, I wonder if there's a National Woman RV Day. And there wasn't. So I made one up. I did it. I just made it up. I put it out on social media and I suggested the ways that you could celebrate it is treating yourself to the premium gas and washing your windows on the rig. Because when's the last time you washed the windows on the rig? Probably never. So that was my two ways. I reached out and did a little research on how do I make it an actual day. It's an act of Congress. Literally, it is the Congress is the one. So I'm like, well, okay. And so it's registered at like, the other registries where you pay $6 and register your day. And so I've paid $6 and the day has been registered. I'm not going to go through Congress, but I look forward to celebrating it in June and I will put it out again. It is National Women's RV Day.
And so June what?
Ah, got you put me on the spot
Oh,
here.
okay,
I
yeah,
think
I
it's
am.
June 7th. I think it's June 7th or 8th. I haven't
Okay.
thought about it since last year.
Well, if you have the link or something like that, or when you find out the actual
I
whatever's
will.
going, yeah, send it out and we'll make sure it's
I will.
included.
I will. Thank you, Agnes. I will.
Okay, we've already talked about the fact that our listeners are boomer women.
Yes.
Is there anything we haven't talked about, or what would you like them to think about when they're thinking, oh man, she's making this sound so interesting and so attractive?
I would tell them it is interesting and it is attractive and it is a good life. I would tell them if the partner's gone or doesn't want to go, we have married people that the partner didn't want to travel and they go without them. They are welcome. But if your partner is gone and or doesn't want to travel and the kids are gone, why not go? Why not go with us? You can get an RV very simply, something that you're comfortable with. Come to that webinar. We can talk our way through it. But it is this simple. It is this good, Agnes. I mean, is it good having a flat tire? No. But is it good having a flat tire on your car? No. Same thing. Same thing. When I had the big flat tire that they didn't have the tire my size in the state of Massachusetts, there was no tire my size. I just pulled into parking lot, went into the owner, said, "Can I stay here? I've got a flat tire." He's like, "Yep, don't block the traffic. No problem." I was in my house. I had dinner, went to bed, took a shower, did everything like normal. I just waited for the tire to show up and it did. So it is a fabulous life. It is a good life and it can be very simple. There's a learning curve, but if you get with an RV club, that learning curve is dramatically reduced. I don't know how else to say it. You won't have to learn everything from scratch. We can tell you what the problem is or, a direction that you can go to get this figured out.
I was just going to say that that's probably a huge thing too, is that whatever comes up, there's probably somebody around that can help you troubleshoot it, or has a solution, or someone to call
Oh,
that would
yeah.
have the solution. So yeah,
Yeah.
safety
Yeah.
and
I bought this big fancy RV and immediately drove to California to meet this group the first time I was ever meeting them. And I couldn't remember how to turn the hot water on. So I drove from Texas to California for about 5 or 6 days with no hot water. So I'm boiling hot water, pouring it in a milk jug that I bought and rinsed out, and mixing it with cold water and pouring it on me in the RV, in a big fancy RV. I get to this club, I walked up. "Hello, I'm new. Does anyone know how to turn the hot water heater on in my side or type of RV?" Two or three hands went up. "We'll go help you." They came in, clicked it. I had hot water.
and you'd never forget that again. Like, I
Oh,
mean, in
no.
terms of how to do
Yes,
it.
no, not at all. No. But it kept me a call from the service and holding and what kind you have and all that. I just asked and somebody knew. That's a great thing right there.
The other thing I was wondering about is you mentioned you had a car on the back of yours. Do most people travel with either a car or bikes, e-bikes, something like that, so they've got something smaller to scoot around in?
Most of us have bikes because we like bike riding, and some people have cars, some don't. Like I say, and the girl that's right here next to me, she just has a van, so if she wants to go somewhere, she just takes her van, or we get in the car and ride with each other for people that do have cars. But most of us have cars. Yeah, it's
Okay.
just easier, especially because like here we're going to be here about 7 days, and so I want to be able to go out and see Fredericksburg. I got to get groceries and go to the post office and do things like everybody else does. So yeah, we have cars.
Just thinking as you said that of how important that is. If you're in the middle of the field for a couple of days and relaxing, having a great time, you do need groceries or something, yeah, to have that smaller vehicle. And I'm sure people are quite generous with, I'm going into town, does anybody want to come and pick up their
Of
stuff?
course. just like you would with your friends if you lived with your friends, just the same way. We're our own little town, if you will, our own little community. I keep calling it a subculture because it is. It's this little group, and we are going here and going here. So we were just, like I said, in Big Ben, and three or four of the people there have already dropped off. They went somewhere else. They didn't come to this stop. So we've picked up five or six that weren't in Big Ben that they saw that we're here. So that I and you know, swinging back around to that being in the club, that's one of the great things. It's not a structure like you, some of these RV tour companies. It's very structured and you pay a lot of money, so you don't want to miss one single thing. If they say get up and kayak at 8 a.m., you are getting up and kayak at 8 a.m. because you paid thousands of dollars for it. Not with us. That's not with us. We don't do anything at 8 a.m. also, but that not with us. If you don't go kayaking today, go tomorrow, go the next day.
That's great.
It is. It is.
I'm seeing that carrot that you're hanging out there. I
Yes.
really
And the thing about it is, if your listeners are sitting there going, well, I don't really kayak and I don't really hike, neither did I before I got here. Neither did I. Neither did I. And you know, the hike, for example, we're going to go on a 3 mile hike. You go as far as you want, you turn around and come back. But I tell you this, after a while, you will be hiking, you will be kayaking, and you will be riding your bike because you'll see how much fun it is. And why sit all day when we can go out and walk around a mountain? You know, or walk down a beautiful stream, or you know, whatever the town or the mountain has. Why not go see that? And it makes you get up and do stuff and keeps you moving and keep you active. You know, sitting at my house, and when I had my house, I wouldn't get up and go hike 3 miles. I mean, I had to make myself get up every day and walk around the block. Some days I made it and some days I didn't. So that's a great thing as far as health about this lifestyle and this club. You know, being around like-minded people who want the same healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you were explaining that, if I'm the type that I'm going to stay in my cozy little house here and just look at life through the window, then yeah, the last thing I'm going to do is go out and try to find a group of kayakers or hikers to go out and do stuff with. Whereas once you're traveling in that circle, because it's the norm, you sort of go, well, yeah, I used to love riding a bike, or well, I may not be able to hike as far as they are, but well, I'll see how far I can get, just because it's the camaraderie and the, yeah, and the fun.
That's exactly it, Agnes. And like you said, you used to ride a bike, and but you'll be surprised. And not, you know, we're all different levels. Some of us can ride 3 miles, some of us can ride 10 miles. Not many of us, but you know, some. And you're right, it is the norm. It's you're the not norm if you don't ever go anywhere. We're like, are you all right? Is everything okay? How come you don't want to go? But you know, we also go to museums. We all love history. We're going to go see LBJ's house that's around here, one of the presidents. So there's something for everyone. So if you are not a big hiker, you don't have to go hiking. You can go do something else. There'll be somebody who wants to go to a museum or go shop and go to lunch or whatever. So, you know, when you got 30 people, there's different tastes, and you could go with them. And there's nothing to you just say, hey, can I go with y'all? Are y'all going to the museum? I want to go too. And that's completely, totally acceptable. You know, in society, it'd be like, you weren't invited, or we didn't invite her. No, we just hear it's like, hey, can I go with you? And it's very accepted.
Just out of curiosity, do you have people like when you're on one of your groups or your hikes or, even a bunch of RVs parked in a field? Do you ever have people come in off the street or just to complete strangers and say, this looks like fun? Like, what are you all
Yes.
about?
What are y'all doing? Why are y'all sitting around here? Why are y'all sitting in a field in lawn chairs? What are y'all doing? Laughing, playing games. We have tables set up playing games. And we tell them. And some of the times they join, and I always give them a card, you know, always selling. But no, we have that fairly often because they want to know why, what are all these RVs doing here? Why are y'all sitting here? Yes. We are very much a curiosity when we are driving around, and we don't caravan and go together very much. But yeah, we're definitely the oddity in when we come into a town.
Yeah. Now you mentioned kayaking, and I was just thinking that, obviously most people wouldn't be just carrying a kayak with them. When you plan the routes, if you're thinking that this is a great kayak spot, Bay of Fundy, do you say that anybody who doesn't have their own kayak, you can rent at such and such a place? Or do some people actually, I guess they've got inflatable kayaks and everything now too, don't they?
Oh yeah, we totally have our kayaks. About, I'd say more than half have their own kayaks. Oh,
Oh, okay.
absolutely. Oh yeah, we're self-sufficient, honey. But we, whoever kind of, we have a host for each stop so that one person doesn't have to do the whole trip for
Okay.
months. And so that person would be like, hey, we can hike kayak here. Here's how much it is. They have kayaks for rent. They're $12 for 2 hours. Yeah. So they looked that up for us. Yeah. It's a whole routine. We know how to do it. Yeah. It's a whole routine. None of this is new. None of this is new.
Asking all the dumb questions because I'm going,
No.
okay.
People don't know. They don't realize that people don't know. So it, you know, it is a different type of lifestyle. We don't think it is, but for your normal, like you said, the norm earlier, you retire, you sit home, they think that's the norm. Where I would submit to you and encourage your readers to look at, is this the norm? If it is, does this have to be your life? Do you have to sit there? If you're 60 years old, you've got what, 20 years ahead of you left where you can still run hard or, you know, hard-ish. but what do you know, you're gonna sit for 20 years at that house? I'm not. I in my 20 years, I'm going to hit the entire United States. I've never been to Vermont, so I'm gonna hit Vermont. But in my 20 years, I'm going to see this country and knock off as many of those national parks and see more of Canada and Mexico that I can. I want to look back and say, I'm glad I didn't sit for 20 years, my last 20 years.
Yeah. Now you said in, when you were a child, you traveling anyways, whether you wanted to or not. Do you find that most of the people have some experience traveling? Because it can be, several weeks ago, I talked to somebody else who is a nomad, and they talked also about the fact that they grew up in that environment of other cultures and other people. And I think it was really, it is probably much easier not to go anywhere if going places has never been a part of your life.
Yeah. I agree with you, Agnes, definitely. I think we've got a mixture. Some people nomads, a couple of people lived in Europe when they were kids. We've got some you know, military brats that have just moved with their parents all over. But I would, if I had to pick, I would say most lived at their house and had long careers, you know, military, you know, the whole it runs the gamut. But I know for me, I attribute it to that, you know, kind of chaotic moving around lifestyle that we had that now serves me. You know, everything is for the greater good, and that now serves me. I'm perfectly fine once, you know, I have my house, but I'm perfectly fine and love the fact that I don't know where the grocery store is in this town and I have to go find it. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
Well, thank you very much for that, Agnes. Look up Wandering Individuals Network or WINS RV Club. I'm on Instagram and we have a strong Facebook group, our website. And also, I really want to push that with you're okay, push that webinar again. It's April 13th at noon Eastern Standard Time, completely free. I'm going to talk about 30, 45 minutes on kind of how to get started with differences in the RV. Some things you could do now to see if this is a lifestyle really and truly for you. I've got a little checklist, and then I've got a nice offer for them to come camp with us after once they get their RV. I'll tell them where to find us, and they can come hang out with us and start this life.
Excellent. So can you get me the link to that webinar
I
and send
sure
it to me?
will. Yeah, I'll
Okay,
give you
when
all
it's
of that.
set.
Yep,
Good.
it'll be in the show notes if you're okay with that. Yeah,
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
and. And any of them, if when they go on the website, Wandering Individuals Network, there's buttons that say contact us or join now, whatever. That all comes to me. So if they want to talk to me, I'll be happy to you know, answer any questions for them. And I get those quite a lot.
Now you skimmed past your social. You are on social, aren't you?
Yeah, I have a website. I have Instagram, Facebook. Yes, I'm on YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel. Some of our funny things, it's not professionally done. It's just some of our funny videos and different things. You know, a snake that came up on us one time going through a bridge. So there's some interesting little things on there. But yeah, you can find, if you Google Wandering Individuals Network or me, Janelle Jones, it'll pop up.
Okay, that's great. May I ask you a personal question? Just having done a little bit of research around your website, clothes. I understand you had a few struggles with clothes.
Oh, did you read my article? Did you
There
read that?
seemed to be a couple of them, yeah.
Yes. I wrote an article on the anxiety that I had of moving into this life. I had a house. I sold the house. I got rid of the furniture. I got rid of almost everything in there. I had my mom's. I closed in 2 weeks, and my mom gave me a lawn chair to sit on, and I was sleeping on a mattress in my bedroom, but I couldn't get through my clothes. My clothes in my closet, and I still had a bunch of suits and high heels and all this stuff. And I had so much trouble getting rid of those. And I sat in the bottom of that closet and I thought, well, I'll just take all of them, which was ridiculous. But I thought, I'll just take all of them. You know, I have four or five evening dresses. I may need those. So it came to my mom came over to help me and talking through it, we realized it was because of growing up poor and not having anything that clothes were a way that I could show other people and me. But I could show the world that I'd made it. You know, I have nice things. I don't have to wear hand-me-down and Goodwill clothes anymore. I have nice things. And so to get rid of those was really challenging. It was surprising how challenging that was. You know how we all have that one shirt dress in our closet that we paid a lot for. It doesn't fit. We don't even like it, but I'm not getting rid of it because I paid a fortune for that. I had a bunch of those. I had some emotional things. You know, this is what I wore when I brought my daughter home from the hospital, all that ridiculousness. I had that still. And I'm now down to the point, Agnes, where I can count on two hands the shirt and the shorts and the dresses, few dresses that I have. And I have one bathing suit because I had a lot of anxiety around bathing suits. Because, you know, I need the bathing suit for when I've got some weight. I've got the need the bathing suit when I'm thinner. I need a cute bathing suit if I get invited to a party and all this. And they all had anxiety because I look fat in this one. I look thin in this one. This one cuts into me. I have one bathing suit. It fits me. When it wore out last year, I bought the exact same one again. And you know what? When it's time to go swimming, because we were just swimming the Rio Grande River in Big Bend, I went and got that bathing suit. Put it on, rinse it out, and it's sitting in there waiting for the next time I go swimming. It's so freeing that one little, those clothes and that bathing suit that it like encapsulates this life to get rid of all that stuff that is weighing you down. That dress that you have to have because you paid money for it is serving you not at all. That doesn't, I couldn't even name that dress to you now. All right. In my mind, I see the red high heels. I still see those. But other than that, it's so freeing getting rid of all that. And your kids don't want it. If you think you're saving that stuff for your kids, I had to make my child take the her grandmother's dishes. I had to make her. And she's like, I don't want those, mother. So I'm like, yeah, exactly. They're right up there in your top claw in the top of your cabinet. I just put them in there when she wasn't home one day in a top cabinet that wasn't. I'm like, you're keeping those. Give them to the granddaughter, if nothing else. You have to take them. I had to take them. Now you have to take them. But if you're keeping your stuff thinking your kids are going to want them, ask them now. They don't want it. They want one or two things in your house, and that's it. And it's another freeing. You asked me earlier what is important about to this house to me. And one of the important things is I said I feel secure and safe and sheltered in here. I don't feel burned. I don't look around and go, oh my God, look at all this stuff. I need to deal with this. I need to clean that out. I don't have all that. I don't have that. And that is so freeing. I can't even put words to it.
Yeah, and I have all of that stuff, but I've already had the talk with my kids of like, I know you don't want this oak dining room suite, so just pass it on. Actually, there's somebody in town here that takes beautiful old antiques and paints them into these wild and beautiful colors. I said, phone her up and tell her it's a gift, And as for my mother's china, both my girls are very crafty, and I said, I just don't want it to go to the landfill. I said, so take it, break it up if you need to. You're both crafty, create, like little tray tops or something, like do something with it, because it's just gathering dust at my house too.
It's just, it's funny when you, some conversations I've had over the years. And people will say, man, I wish I could do that life. I'm like, well, you can. Well, no, I can't. I got my house. I've got this. I got this. You know, you can sell all that. No, I can't, you know, they can't say that. No, I can't. You know, I could never. I can't. Oh, okay. You know, okay. But you could. It just takes a step forward. You know, that old saying that's such a cliche, how to eat an elephant one bite at a time. If you decide to do this life, just start to take a bite. Just there's one less fight you got to do. And again, going back to that webinar, I've got some, I don't know, I think I'm maybe up to 10 things, 7 or 8, 10 things you can do now to start really seeing. I've got a little questionnaire for you to take and like, it, can I do this live? What is this something that I would be able to do? And some homework to see if you can get through these couple of things, do these couple of things, and, to start you on this life. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard to get started if you want to.
Well, I'm thinking too that, even if you put everything in storage, you pay $300 a month for your storage locker. By the time you've been on the road, if you're finding that this is what you want to do, you
Yeah.
circle back. And at that point in time, you can safely sell all this stuff.
Oh yeah. There, I was talking to somebody, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. She goes, I have 8 boxes in my best girlfriend's house. I couldn't tell you what's in those 8 boxes, and I've been there 3 years. But at the time, they were so important, she couldn't get rid of them. And I'm like, well, I bet your girlfriend would like you to get rid of them. She's like, yeah, she wants them out of there. She goes, I don't even know. I go, just tell her to throw them away so you don't feel like you have to go through them again. Obviously, you don't need them. Get rid of them.
There you go. Simple as
Yes, I
that.
have a, I'm a big believer in minimal, simple and minimal because of the freedom that it affords. And you're talking to somebody who lived in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house by myself. I had 3 sets of dishes for 12. Why? I don't know, but I had those 3 sets of dishes that I carted with me every time I moved. I had to pack up china. I did all that. And now that I don't have that, I have 2 plates, 2 bowls, 2 coffee cups, 1 tall glass, 1 cocktail, highball glass, and that's it. And you'd be surprised how little that service for 12 has ever come up.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Your website link is going to be in the show notes, as I will also put the link to the webinar. All the links will also be on your page at our website, so everything will be there.
Right.
Listeners, if you have thoughts on today's show, please talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at the Boomer Woman's podcast at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. Or, what question did I not ask Janelle? Now you can ask that in the comments. However, I might be tempted to respond that you should just show up to that webinar on the 13th. So, leave stars and reviews where you can, they help us grow. Share this episode. Lots of people think solo travel is a dream. But if you're anything like me, deep down inside, solo in settled life is fine, but can bring on some anxiety as I get older. Thank you for curing me of that today, reassuring me. That was great. The reason for sharing is perhaps some of your friends are harboring secret travel dreams, and starting together may be a great way to get your feet wet. Janelle Jones, thank you for being my guest today and making the lifestyle sound so doable.
Oh,
And
thank you.
for creating the group that can make starting that lifestyle possible.
Yes, thank you, Agnes. I appreciate you letting me talk about it. I can go on and on, and I know sometimes I do, but your podcast is interesting. It's good. And I hope if one woman, one person out there heard me and this resonated with them, all worth it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great rest of week.
Thank you, Agnes.